You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
Thank you, Tom. My answer to unrequited love is love anyway. Go ahead and love anyway. I'm excited about my talk today. First of all, I decided let me get a little bit personal with you, not as personal as Ursula did. That was a little bit personal. But I wanted to get personal with you just to let you know a little bit about myself, because some of you know me and are in classes and I tell the stories over and over again, and some of you are just here on Sundays and I don't really tell my personal stories so much. So I'll just give you one of my small personal stories, and it's the story of me back in the 70s and 80s. I know I don't look that old, but 70s and 80s, when I was in the military. I was in the Army. And so in my Army days, I joined, and I could be whatever I wanted to be in the Army after I took the entrance exam, and so I knew I was pre-med. I was going to go into med school way back at the time, and so I took a 91 Bravo assignment. A 91 Bravo is a medical specialist. What a medical specialist is a frontline medic. We were taught to be on the front lines. We were the ones on the front lines with the big red cross on your arm so that you were a prime target to be shot at and everything like that. But no, we were there to take care of the front line people that were being hurt and everything. So I was at Fort Sam Houston doing a lot of classes on how to become a frontline medic, and it was really wonderful. It's gory. It's how do you take care of a shot in the lungs and something out of your eye and all this stuff, and you don't have any tools, so you have to come up with some tools that you need to use. So I learned all of that only to be shipped off to Korea and work in the pediatric ward. And what I did in the 121st EVAC hospital, which is the MASH unit, that's where MASH comes from. So here I am working in there, I'm in pediatrics, and I'm changing diapers. But I had to be ready for the front line if anything ever happened over there. So I've got a prop for you today. You know me, I love props. So I wanted to share with you, and I have a prop right here. And what this prop is if you're out in the field and you have to come up with something to stop the bleeding, you have to come up with a tourniquet. So I came up with a tourniquet when I was there, so when we're out there in the field. And when I finally got stationed back in the States, I was stationed at Fort Benning, Georgia. That's how I ended up in Georgia, and I just stayed in Georgia. There I was stationed at the 2nd and 69th Armored Division. I was put as a tank commander. I was in charge of the ambulance as the tank there and everything. So then I had to use tourniquets a little bit more often out in the field doing all that. But what a tourniquet does is, out in the field when you're there and somebody has something that's really wrong with their wrist or something like that, and you want to stop the flow of blood, I go ahead and I get this tourniquet, and you just use any stick that you can find out there in the field to help with the tourniquet. And so I'm turning it and I'm turning it, and as I'm doing that, my hand is becoming more and more numb, more and more numb. Now it's getting tight. And so I've got this tourniquet on. However, my heart does not care what's happening over here. My heart is still beating, giving all that it can to life. It's still pushing everything out. It's still pushing everything out. But I am doing something right here and constricting life to come through here to my hand. So my hand is feeling numb right now. The veins are popping out. You phlebotomists are saying, wow, what great veins he's got. So what I am doing is I'm constricting this, but this part of me doesn't know that this is happening. This part of me is still pushing the full life force out. It's still saying, yes, let me go out, let me go out, let me go out. So what I wanted to share with you is the same thing. This is happening here in the individual that on my arm, I've got this tourniquet going on, and as I tell you all the time, as in the universe, so in the individual. As in the universe, so in the individual. In the individual, I'm down here and I'm doing something and putting this tourniquet on and stopping the life force from coming to the tip of my fingers down here. In the universal, we can do the same thing. The universal is pushing its life force towards you all the time. It's pushing your life force towards you all the time. But you too have a tourniquet and are not allowing it to get out here into your extremity or your part of your life. And what that tourniquet is right here. It's your mind. Your mind is the tourniquet and not allowing the rest of life to push forward. Now, the universal life force pushing through you and everything, it doesn't care that you have the tourniquet on and are not allowing life to go out into your extremities or into your life. It doesn't care. Just like my heart, it doesn't care. It just keeps doing what it's supposed to do, pushing forward that life force all the time. So my talk today is love after Valentine's Day. Love after Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day and Valentine's weekend, it's easy to allow this flow of life to come through, and we call this love. I love Charlotte coming up, and the very first thing she said to me is, Happy Valentine's Day. So it's still happening this weekend. We're having a great time. It's easy to see love. We've got flowers. We've got chocolates. We have long lines at the restaurants. Because you know food is love, so therefore we go to the restaurants. And it's a very awkward weekend for some of us. My paralegal at the office came in to hearts all posted in her room and chain link hearts hanging over everything. And she came in a little bit late, but all my other paralegals and I myself are looking in the room. And one paralegal said it best. She goes, "Eh." That's how she felt about Valentine's Day. And I was like, I couldn't have said it any better than that. So how that all happened is one of my attorneys was staying late, and she let in the partner to come in and decorate the whole office and everything. So it was really nice. But the other end of that spectrum on Valentine's Day is just how romantic it was, and the flowers, and the food, and the hearts were even pasted on the phone receiver. And so it was like, okay, there's this full spectrum all the way back and forth on what's going on with Valentine's Day. But that's all the way down here with that romantic aspect of love. That's all the way down here at the extremes where the aspect of love is that I wanted to talk to you about. That's the world of effect love. It's really easy to show the world of effect love all the time when you have everybody talking about love at the same time. It's not so easy to do it when everybody's not talking about love. Valentine weekend comes and goes, and then now there needs to be love after Valentine's Day, and what do we need to do with that? You guys are so lucky. Not only did I have one prop, I've got two props for you. You guys are lucky because I'll go months without having a prop. So I needed to share something with you. We're discussing this in class right now, so I want to draw something up here just so that you can see how this life force works with us all the time, and I want to show some things. In class, I talk about there's a flow of life going on all the time. All of this is the allness of life, flowing through life all the time. And everything. And I share this in class because it's always what we learn. And I'm losing my microphone. I shouldn't bend over so much. What we talk about is the descent of spirit. In your Science of Mind textbook, we have this. You have this line. You have the descent of spirit coming down like this. And what this is how spirit kind of descends out of the allness of life, comes out into particularization, which is you and I. All the time. So the allness of life is this. And if you remember 2 weeks ago when I gave that talk and I gave this third of the auditorium, I said, all that you say is all is given. All is given. That's what this is. All is given. Everything is given. And then you have the particularization of spirit, which means the descent of spirit comes down and it comes out individually as each one of us. So these are people. This is David right down here. Charlotte came in, so this is Charlotte over here. Kirby was here helping me, so Kirby is here. And for every single one of you, I can draw a descent of spirit because you've come from the allness of life, come down here, and you're all expressing this thing called life, particularly who you are. And this is where we come up with ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We come out of this, we're born, we have our particularization, and we come back into spirit. That's the eternality of life. This is our eternality of life up here. So David's here, Charlotte's here, Kirby's here, and it's really easy on Valentine's Day for all of us to look at each other this way and say, Happy Valentine's Day, there's love is in the air. Let's talk about Valentine's Day. So when race consciousness talks of love, it's easy to have that. But then let's go back to work tomorrow. Let's go to work tomorrow. The very first thing we do is we turn the tourniquet on and we don't allow love to flow. We don't allow love to flow. For you know what? We don't love at work. We don't love at work. There's no fraternization here, we announce. There's no PDAs if you're in the Army. No personal displays of affection. You can't have that. Go ahead and turn that tourniquet on. Don't allow the flow of life of love to come through here. For we're not supposed to love at work. And heaven forbid, we're not supposed to love our job. We're not supposed to be doing that. And we don't turn it all the way. We kind of just turn the tourniquet a little bit because we're civil to each other, but we turn it just enough to restrict. But back here at the heart of you, the universe is going full tilt. It's just like the heart. It's just pushing the full life forward to you all the time. It's going full force, but down here you show up at work and you're going, no, I'm not going to allow that. I'm not supposed to allow love to come into my life down here right now. I'm supposed to be working. I can't be doing that. But always, 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 love is flowing full tilt. But we're the ones turning the tourniquet because we don't allow that to show up at work. This is agape love. Agape love is there all the time. This is the love of God. It's always flowing. It's always flowing. What we call love is really the full and unrestricted expression of divine life itself. It's trying to push through you all the time. Divine life is perfect peace. Divine life is perfect holiness. Divine life is perfect beauty, perfect joy. That is why Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it come more abundantly. Not I, Jesus, but my Christ consciousness. That's why I've come, so that we can have it abundantly. We need to be letting it through here all the time, not with a tourniquet, not allowing it to go through there. The converse of love is fear. Fear is only the absence of love. Again, the Bible says, fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out fear. The only reason we have fear is because we do not understand God rightly. We do not understand this aspect of us. When I'm standing down here and I'm looking at Charlotte or I'm looking at Kirby and I have fear because Charlotte is doing something I don't understand or something that's scary, Kirby is, and I'm looking only at this level of my expression, I have fear. What I have done is I put a tourniquet right here and I'm not allowing all of this, the love of the universe that's always coming through me all the time. So all that fear is separation. It's just separation. I feel that I'm separated from this, so therefore I have that fear. A sense of separation from our good, says Emma Curtis Hopkins, when you take that class, a sense of separation from our God. What causes this sense of separation from our good? The tourniquet. Because the good is there. My heart is pumping. I'm pushing everything out all the time. Anger, spite, resentment, hate. Each one is a turn on the tourniquet. All of these are just alternative expressions of fear. Jealousy, malice, denote a belief that there's not enough good to go around. And if another person gets all that they want of good, I might go short because they're getting all the goodness. Or if that person has a Valentine's Day and I don't, I'm coming up short once again. If that other person gets a promotion and I do not, there's not enough good to go around. There was only that one promotion. All that this does is but constrict the expression of life in our soul. It's just the tourniquet when we're jealous or we sense that there's not enough. It's just another turn of the tourniquet. When jealousy shows up, we turn it. When anger shows up, we turn it. When resentment shows up, we're turning it. We're not allowing the fullness of life to come through. So I've got two stories for you this morning to share with you. One that I just learned this past week by visiting my sister in Miami. And for those of you that follow me on Facebook, you saw, dang, I got stuck in Miami for an extra day this past week. So everybody was snowed in. I was kind of snowed out, but I was snowed out in Miami. So that was sweet. So it was. I got to see my sister about three different times, and the last time that I saw her, she was explaining to me about how she just got a raise. She hasn't had a raise in years because she's in the real estate market down in Miami, and that kind of has been down for a little while and everything. So she finally gets one, and she's not happy with it. Actually, the raise is just a little raise. During all the downturn with the real estate, she actually had to take pay cuts. And so when she finally got a raise, it wasn't even anywhere back to where she was way back then. So she wasn't very happy with it. So what she said, she thought it wasn't enough. She turned to resentment towards her boss. What do you think happens at your job when you start resenting things at work? Turn the tourniquet. You're not allowing the full life to flow through. Now, is Universal Life ready to push through her and show her a magnificent way at work? You betcha. The heart is always beating. It's always pushing the fullness of life out there all the time. So, she didn't think it was right. She had some resentment. And then rather than understanding that life is trying to show up, that this was the way life was showing up, that she actually was in tune with the infinite a little bit to even allow the raise, because she could have not even gotten a raise at that time. Rather than show up with gratitude that life is showing up, the tourniquet is turned, unless life is now allowed to show up. And so I'm sitting at lunch with her at the airport on Thursday before I fly back, and I was like, she was like, you know, I don't even want to go into work, you know, I just want to go, I'm just going to give them 50%. And I said, no, that's not the way the universe works. You don't show up and just give 50%. You don't just show up and give 75% right now. That is what resentment does to our individual minds down here. It tightens the tourniquet. So I told her, you don't show up and give 50 or 75%. You know what? You show up and give 110%. Just because you think the raise wasn't good enough, that's up to them, leave that to them. What do you think? You show up and give 110%. 110% is loosening the tourniquet. When you say I'm going to give 110%, you're loosening the tourniquet, you're allowing more life to flow through, you're allowing more blood to throw into that situation. 75% tightens, 110% loosens. Guess what? That will change. That world of experience will change by her showing up and giving 110%. Stop worrying about what my boss did or didn't do or what my boss gave me and everything like that. You turn to the life force and say, you know what? I'm going to allow the creative aspect of the universe to come through me in this position right now. Resentment, condemnation, ill will, all show some of the restrictions of this free flow of life. So if you have any of these in any aspects of your life, you're constricting the free flow of life coming in there. And so, when your raise does not come from your boss, your raise does not come from that person, it comes from here. The promotion does not come from that person, it comes from here as well. But we're down here stuck in our little limited life, and we're looking down here for my raise. I'm looking over here for my promotion. I'm looking down here for my whole body. And we're down here in the world of effect looking for those things, and we need to go somewhere else. We need to go back to this other greatness of us. So we have this, and we're allowed to turn that tourniquet. We're allowed to say, no, I'm not going to let the whole of life flow through me. And we have a whole race consciousness that says that. So many souls turn the tourniquet because they're walking around their life in resentment. How many of you know somebody that's walking around their life in resentment right now? Don't show me your hands. I don't want to look. But we all have somebody. So then we wonder that the world is so filled with so much sickness and loneliness and fear. Why is that? Because we're all looking down here, we're not coming up here and understanding what that is of us. Is it any wonder that men and women grow old and tired and wrinkled and worn and lose their bodies altogether? Because they're running around with this resentment and fear. The earth is desolated by wars and famine. not because of this, not because of this. So I know there's enough food on this planet to feed every single person. So why do we have famine? We have food here to serve every single person. And I don't even want to say that, you know, we have starving people in India or starving people in China. We've got starving people right here in Atlanta, Georgia. There's enough to feed all of them. This flow of life must go outward to form this harmonious interaction with people. That's exactly what Ursula said in her opening treatment about letting that love go and communicate with other people. If you frustrate this flow by harboring resistance, prejudice, animosity, you're only half living. You're not allowing the fullness of life to come through. You will find that you'll get along very well with life and other people when you go along with the flow rather than constrict it. Don't attack your boss because of the raise. Don't attack your boss because of the not getting the promotion. Don't be restricting it. Go along with life. Divine order is not simply an ultimate toward to which to work through some prayer technique that claims its reality, because we stand up here and go, there's one God, there's one mind, there's one life. It's not just going through all that. Divine order is a fundamental truth of the universe. Divine order is a fundamental truth of the universe. All is given is fundamental of the universe right now. And in my classes, I like to say from the old Palmolive commercial with Madge saying, you're soaking in it now. You're soaking in it now. Do you feel like you're soaking in divine order right now? Yes, some people are not. Some people don't feel like they're soaking in it now. You're soaking in divine order now. You're soaking in divine love right now. Know that there's always a cosmos within every chaos. Again, no show of hands, but who's in chaos right now in their life? Know that there's cosmos in it. Know that the cosmos are in it. Know that you're soaking in this now. There's always enough love to go around, even with the persons involved in bitter disputes. If you're having a hard time with your family, know that there's enough love to go around for both of you. In the flow of life, there's a potential for peace and understanding and cooperation in every relationship. And I have underlined every, because a lot of times we think it doesn't work with our family, it doesn't work with our spouse, I haven't talked to my kids in 15 years. This works in every single relationship. The universal flow is not a psychological gimmick to love the unlovable or to communicate with the incommunicable. It's not just making the best of things. It's not about getting along with the other person. Primarily, it all belongs to getting along with you. Getting along with the self with a capital S, and the determination to keep the channels of consciousness free from any obstructions, free from any tourniquets. The second story I want to share with you this morning is about coming back from Miami. You take the MARTA train. Now, how many of you can recognize this on a MARTA train? When you're on a MARTA train, you're pretty much down here. But yes, even on a MARTA train, that is there. So a woman comes in on the train, and she comes in one door, and another woman comes in another door, and she doesn't see her. So this woman starts walking towards the empty seat. The woman from the back door comes running in and knocks the woman aside and gets the seat. So the one woman stands there who's the victim, and she looks at the woman seated, and she's enraged, and she calls her an animal, and she calls her some other things. And the whole episode left her in anger at the woman, and she had this guilt complex come over her about that. So I go over and I talk to her, and she says, you know, I don't know how I can do this. How can I do this when somebody acts like this? How can I keep myself in this great flow that you're talking about, David? You're trying to do a teachable lesson here. How do I keep myself in the spirit of love and harmony, love after Valentine's Day, when everywhere I go, I run into this type of behavior? Everywhere I go, I run into this type of behavior. What's wrong with the world anyway? Do you see where I'm going with this? We've all had this conflict, whether on the MARTA train or in a car driving. We get upset that someone's cut us off. It could be a conflict with someone in your neighborhood, your family, a coworker at the office. Instead of a seat, it could be a promotion. In the book of John, we're studying the book of John now. If you're in that class, oh my gosh, this is opening up the Bible tenfold, like unbelievable what we're doing. So John said, What is that to thee? Follow me. What is that to thee? Follow me. What is it that that seat has taken? Follow me. And, you know, everybody else wants to say follow me means follow Jesus. It doesn't. It means follow the Christ consciousness. Follow the life consciousness. Follow the love consciousness. Don't look at the lack of seats or the lack of promotions or the lack of lovers. In the universe up here, is there a lack of seats? Is there a lack of lovers up here? Is there a lack of promotions up here? There is not. But we're so caught up in the moment looking down here going, oh, the seat was taken. The promotion was taken. We're all caught up in that. So there's not there. But in the moment, at the world of effect level, there is. We don't see another promotion, another seat. So we turn the tourniquet, stop the flow of life from showing how there are infinite numbers of seats and promotions and lovers. This only means before you go to try to correct conditions out here, don't go and try to correct all the conditions out here. You need to get your mind established in here is where you need to get that established first, with this flow of life in here. On the martyr train, it would seem obvious that the other person was out of the flow of love and harmony, but that is her responsibility to live with. The incident is external, but the reaction is completely our own. How do we react that way? There's a flow of peace and love and harmony everywhere, yes, even on Marta. Whether you're aware of it or not, or whether you're consciously moving in it or not, this is what is meant by the omnipresence of God. God is everywhere, all the time. You do not leave the presence of God or the flow of life when you're in our negative or resistance. You only leave the consciousness of the presence. You only leave your awareness of the presence. Even sitting right down here, this is flowing through to you. This is pushing through to you all the time. You may not know exactly how or why you lose that consciousness and the enveloping experience of the flow, but of the one thing you can be sure, if you are being pushed around right now, you are out of the flow of consciousness. If you feel like you're being pushed around, you're out of the flow. So how do you turn that around? How do you unleash that? You're only acting from the hand, thinking that there's no life when the heart is trying to push all the time to you. You want to fight back. You want to cry foul. You are certain that the problem is out there. It is my boss. It's that woman. But the desire to retaliate, the desire to now give 50 or 75% is a state of your consciousness. Your consciousness. If you charge the other person with being an animal, what is to be gained if you become an animal too? Both of you come down to that level of consciousness. I like this verdict that just came down. They're going to do a retrial of the noise trial that they're talking about. Right now they came down 4 out of 5 terms that they convicted, but not of murder, second degree murder. And it's interesting how they broke it down. They broke it down exactly like this. The very first thing they said, the first 7 shots were in self-defense. Even though there was no gun, he thought there was a gun. So they let him go on the first 7 shots. But it was the next 3 that they convicted him on. The first 7 shots were into the vehicle. The next 3 shots were at the speeding away vehicle. So this jury came down saying, okay, we'll take your defense of self-defense for the first 7 shots. But the 3 shots at the fleeing vehicle, you've just come down to the level of the animal. You started acting at the animal level. So the jury came down and saw that. They were able to say that. Now the prosecution is going to go ahead and appeal this and go through another trial. But that's what I'm just saying. We have a choice of whether to go to that animal level or not. We have a choice to turn the tourniquet, or we can turn it the other way. This is a very hard lesson to understand, that the sudden flare-up of anger showed that beneath the facade of composure this woman had before she got on the MARTA train, that there was chaos within her already. There was chaos within her already. You were disturbed by that incident because you were disturbable. You were disturbed by that incident because you were disturbable. Now, I know I'm losing some of you. You can go ahead and leave. We don't want to hear that. If you've been in a more loving consciousness, you probably would have dealt with the situation in an entirely different way. An even more difficult self-admission is that because you were out of the consciousness of the flow, you may have well attracted the experience in the first place. This is where I lose even more of you. This is why she says, everywhere I go, I run into this kind of behavior. Everywhere I go, I run into this kind of behavior. Now, if you remember 2 weeks ago on my talk, all is given, and so it is. In the middle was the what? Blah, blah, blah. What is it that you're having come to send down here into your experience? If your blah, blah, blah is, I'm always a victim, the city's hard to live with, the city has a high crime rate, there's all these things. If you do that, the blah, blah, blah comes out perfectly as you having a confrontation on the MARTA train. We don't think that. We just sit there and affirm, oh, the city has a high crime rate. Oh, there's more guns being bought in the city. Oh, there's this. And we think that has nothing to do with that, and what you're doing is using the law perfectly and having it come down here into your world of effect. Everywhere I go, I run into this kind of behavior. It is actually consciousness outforming itself. If you really knew that your behavior in the face of struggle for the seat indicated a red warning light of a crisis of consciousness, you know what? You should have probably stopped and bowed before that woman and said, thank you. Thank you for making that awareness within me that I was so out of consciousness with it. Thank you for revealing to me that I'm out of the flow. And this is when I talked like 3 months ago on Ho'oponopono. Remember I gave that talk for those of you that were here? You're going to have to look that up and see what Ho'oponopono is. But Ho'oponopono is, just in your experience, if somebody comes up to you and has this flare-up like on MARTA or something like that, it has nothing to do with the woman and it has everything to do with me. And one of the very first things you say in Ho'oponopono is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for realizing that I have come off zero. Thank you for making me realize I've stepped out of the flow or the consciousness of the universe. That's where Ho'oponopono is. And I shared with you that the book was called Zero Limits. And there's a couple in this church that after that Sunday, they literally downloaded Zero Limits. They drove off to Charleston listening to Zero Limits. And by the time they got to Charleston, they realized, oh, my goodness, this really works. Do I need to come back to center all the time? I always need to come back to zero. I need to come here. Because if I'm operating here, operating here, operating here, of course I want to blame Kirby. And of course I want to blame Charlotte for everything wrong that's going in my life. But you know what? It has nothing to do with Charlotte and it has nothing to do with Kirby. It has everything to do with me. So we tend unrealistically to expect the world to provide us with peace, security, and love. This is where we want peace. This is where we want security. This is where we want love. This is where we want love after Valentine's Day. This is not where it comes. It comes from here. We expect the world to give us a seat. We expect the world to give us a bigger raise. We expect the world to give us a promotion. We expect the world to give us more money. We expect the world to give us a healthy body. But all of that comes from up above. It comes from the flow. It comes from the consciousness. We expect the world to fit into our own little box. We want everything to fit into this box, into our perfect little box. Then there is harmony. Then there's peace. Then there's love. If you fit into my box, Charlotte, we'll get along very well. So I want you to fit into my box. But you know what? My box, as wonderful and as extreme as I think that my life is full of, it's a limiting idea. It's a limiting idea. And I'm trying to get people to come in and fit into my box and live that way. In Greek mythology, there's a character named Procrustes. He's the son of Poseidon, who was somewhat a less than perfect host. Because whenever you went over to Procrustes' house, guess what? You got invited to sleep in the Procrustean bed. And if you were too short for that bed, he would stretch you to fit into the bed. And if you were too long for that bed, he'd cut your feet off. So this is a perverted sense of hospitality, but he insisted that they fit the bed perfectly. This is the origin of the term Procrustianism. It means the tendency to insist that everyone conform to your concept of how they should be. It's a very rigid standard. This is why this time in Congress right now is so hard for us, because we haven't had this in a long time, but we have two beds that we're supposed to fit in. This bed, a red bed, or a blue bed. And you've got to fit into one of those two beds, and if you don't fit in, we're going to cut your feet off. And if you don't fit, we're going to stretch you out to that. It's a very rigid standard. Up here, there is no size of a bed. Up there. In the universe, there is no rigid standard. So in the individual, why do we set up such a rigid standard? Why do we set that up? So life is lived from the within out. But we're sitting down here looking at all of that. If you look for security or harmony or cooperation on the outside, you quickly become irritated with your coworkers who don't cooperate, your employers who are too demanding, your employees who are careless or indifferent. You've got to get into the flow. Whatever the situation, understand you are there. Not just you down here. You are there. You are there. God is there. Universal wisdom and joy and love is there. And a great affirmation, wherever I am, there let me be. Wherever I am, there let me be. And that's understanding this aspect of you. The wonderful, handsome, muscular David Barrett. I want that aspect of me. Y'all laugh. I want that aspect me of, but this aspect of you. I am there. Know that the two of those, yes, wherever I am, there let me be. Be a channel for the flow of this infinite creative process. If you stay in the flow, you will not let antics and attitudes of other people squeeze you into their mold or into their box. They're trying to get you into their box. As much as you're trying to get people to fit into your box, they're trying to get you to fit into their box. So right now, how many of us are being squeezed into somebody else's box? How many are being squeezed into another mold? How many of you are being made to fit into that bed? If you get into the consciousness, the flow, life within you will sustain you with all that you need of love and understanding of the situation. I feel like I'm being boxed in here. Let me unloosen this tourniquet. Let me unloosen it. So what can you do with these people with whom you have little in common, people who sense you are beneath them, people who resist your efforts to get along? Just like I said, love them anyway. Love them anyway. You turn on the light. There's a quote again from the Bible, it's better to bring a light than to curse the darkness. You're the one to bring a light. Don't fight with a person at animal to animal level. You turn on the light. A few good affirmations I have tucked away, and you've heard this before because it's old, good Kennedy Schultz. Everyone loves me whether they know it or not. Everyone knows me, loves me whether they know it or not. So when you're in a really rough situation, understand that. Another one that I learned from my boss, who was taking all kinds of, she was taking a ministerial class with Dr. Rocco Errico, and Dr. Rocco Errico says, you go ahead and you say, wrap them in Jesus. Wrap them in Jesus. So when you're having a hard conflict with something, if me and Tom are having a hard conflict or something, and I just want to grit my teeth, and I want to have go to all the things that turn my tourniquet really tight, I need to turn the tourniquet the other way and go, wrap them in Jesus. Wrap them in Jesus. And you sometimes have to say this with gritting teeth. Wrap them within Jesus. Wrap them. Because by saying that, you're turning the tourniquet the other way. Even though I'm saying it through gritted teeth, I'm unloosening the tourniquet. I'm allowing more life to flow into the situation. So everyone loves me whether they know it or not. Wrap them in Jesus. It turns the flow on into the situation. It turns the tourniquet loose. Take time every morning to get into this flow of the universe and to actively project this love and light out to all your coworkers, all the situations that you're going to come into contact with that day. This is how you love after Valentine's Day. I had an office cleaner that came in. My law office is busiest on the last day of the month. And I had an office cleaner that came in to empty the garbage cans. And what they did on the last day of the month is they stood behind every paralegal's desk and just said, I'm wrapping the situation in love. You have the calmness. You're able to get through this day. You're able to do all of these things. And then he goes to the next garbage can, empties it, and does it again at that seat. He's setting up the consciousness of love in that situation to every single paralegal. Now, they didn't have to be there. They didn't even hear him say that treatment work. But he did it anyway. Why? Because he understands he's acting up here. He's not acting down here in their ears. He's acting at a place from here, knowing that this person and this person and this person are going to have a calm, cool, and collective day. A friend of mine was flying to New York because she worked for American Express. She was in charge of client services and everything. And she was flying to New York because not only did the people want to fire American Express, they didn't want to do it over the phone. I want to fire you in person. So she gets on the plane. What do you think she does for the 2.5-hour flight up to New York? Turn the tourniquet loose. Let me put into this situation. So she walks up, she goes to the receptionist, takes her back to the boss, and the boss says, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. And so the boss leaves, and the secretary comes back in saying, I don't know what just happened here, because that's not what he told me what was happening when you got here. It's turning the tourniquet loose. You never know how universal mind is going to show up. You are the light of the world. This is our work, to show up and allow this to flow into every single circumstance all the time. This is our work. And as you do it well, there's going to be rich return, both material and immaterial. The immaterial I call spiritual coin. You start feeling something here that's really wonderful. So, if you have a person in a dark room and they're going to be bumping into obstacles and everywhere as he fumbles for the light, suddenly he touches the light switch and the room is flooded with light. Nothing in the room is altered. Nothing is made, added, or taken away. Yet in a flash, it's all changed. You feel comfortable. In the same sense, we may be embroiled in a horrendous experience with hostile people. But if we can turn on the light, allow this flow of life, life unfolds in harmony and understanding. It takes two to quarrel. It takes one to commence the dissolution process. So I leave you this morning with an experiment. Go ahead and take your fists and go like this and really clench them. And what does it do? Do you feel the tenseness coming into you? Do you feel all the tightness and everything that's going on? And if somebody were to come in and see you like this, what do you think they're going to do? Exactly the same thing. They're going to make fists as well. And so do you see how you've just set up the consciousness for the experience that you're ready to have? And then go like this. Did you feel something happen in your body? In the room. You set up the consciousness that way. So we go ahead and we set those things up. Our tensions leave. Our whole mentality changes. Closed hands hold on to people and situations. Open your hands and let them go. Open hands symbolize a readiness to accept the flow. Open hands let go of a tourniquet. Open hands lead to an open heart. An open heart shows you how to love on Valentine's Day. And it is wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. Thank you, guys. My props sometimes might distract, but sometimes I think they help out a little bit in understanding what's going on. So let's take this into mind and our consciousness and our understanding of exactly what is happening right here. It is the truth of each one of us that we are soaking in it now. What is it that we're soaking in? The allness and wholeness of the universe. At the farthest reaches of the universe, there is harmony, joy, love, wisdom. It's expressing it in an infinite number of ways. And that harmony, joy, love, wisdom comes right down here and expressing through each one of us as an individual. As in the universe, so in the individual. As the universe is all giving, I affirm that I also too am all giving. I allow the flow of life to flow into every single circumstance in my life. It is on this day that I open my heart and I do allow myself to love at work. I don't care what the rest of the workforce says. I go in and I show love at work. Things change. A promotion occurs. Money starts coming in because we've opened ourselves. Not what the boss did, not what anybody else did, because of what we've done and allowed ourselves to be that avenue for which love is to show up in that place. We allow the vitality of the universe to flow through our bodies. We stop looking at diagnoses. We stop looking at numbers. We stop looking at all of those things because those are constricting things and turning the tourniquet on. We turn the tourniquet the other way and announce that the vitality of the universe is my vitality this very moment. The abundance of the universe is my abundance this very moment. I let loose all of the tourniquets that I ever have set up on the idea of money. There is an abundance in the universe, and that abundance is mine right here and right now. And I love. I greatly love. I love in every single circumstance. First and foremost, I love myself. I don't come down hard on myself. I just say, it is with you whom I am well pleased. The goodness of life is right here, right now. Not after doing something better or anything at that point. I am soaking in this love of the universe right now. All of this is ours this very single moment. We let go of the anger. We let go of the resentment. We let go of all the harms that we have been holding on to for years. For all those harms are just a tourniquet that we've just slowly been holding on to, and the life is leaving us because we're holding on to it. We let them all go now. We grab onto a greater understanding. We grab onto this greater understanding how the flow of life is happening to us right this very minute, and it's up to us to step into it. We step into it, we claim it, it is ours. We give great thanks for this understanding, and when we walk out of these doors, we understand that we are stepping into a new life. We are stepping into the flow of life that is all giving all the time right now. We're soaking in it. It's ready to come out into our new world of experience, and we announce that new world of experience this day. This is the truth for each one of us, and so it is.